Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. We have a tremendous guest. I read this book. I've told you about it already. Paramedico, Paramedico. Wonderful book. Benjamin Gilmore is the author. He's an Australian paramedic who for 15 years has worked with ambulance and services in America, England, Iceland, Macedonia, Mexico, Pakistan, the Philippines, South Africa, and Thailand. And Paramedico is really a brilliant collection of the stories of his wild adventures, but it's really brilliant written as well. This is a fast read. This is a great book for summer, a great book for any time. In fact, it is just wonderful. Mr. Gilmore, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Mike.
Now tell me, Benjamin, what's the difference? I know the difference, but and your book illustrates it beautifully, but what's the difference between an ambulance driver and a paramedic? Don't all ambulance drivers have to be paramedics?
Well, in most parts of the world now, they have to be trained to some degree of emergency care. So either emergency medical technician, EMT, or paramedic, and even intensive care paramedics in some locations who are specialized in the field. Now, say going back 30 years or more, back then it was more common for ambulance workers to be referred to as drivers because that is largely what they did. They may have had some oxygen and some wooden splints, but that was about the extent of it. The emergency medical profession, particularly in the out-of-hospital setting, the ambulance setting, has come a long way in 30 years. It's progressed rapidly, and now paramedics are able to do as much as any doctor could do outside of a hospital setting without the diagnostics of X-rays and CT. So right now around the world, and certainly in developed countries, paramedics are no longer referred to as ambulance drivers as they used to be.
And in fact, you point out the difference, for example, in England, where Henry, which is a person, the ambulance driver in the story, is very different, it seems, than a paramedic. and he gets his kicks not out of saving people, but almost out of driving crazily through the streets with his ambulance lights and sounds on.
Well, interesting you should mention my time in England, because this is the one country where I didn't work for the state-run ambulance service and worked instead for a private company. Now, being Australian, we don't really have private ambulance services down here, as you might say in the US or in the UK, and very tightly regulated in Australia. So it's unusual for me to experience slightly gung-ho, cowboy-like service where they were essentially ambulance drivers ferrying patients from one place to another, were a little bit out of whack, a little bit loose, let's say, in their professionalism.
And so he... Well, let me go and flip to another country, if you will. Although I found the opening story of you as an ambulance, if you will, alone as both the ambulance driver and paramedic, and needed volunteers to drive in the outback in Australia.
Yes, indeed. And I started off as a paramedic very young. I was 19. That's young in Australia. Certainly not young in some other places in the world, and we might talk about that later. In Pakistan, you have even children working on ambulances, which is quite shocking. But in the outback of Australia, I was sent there. It was very hard to get paramedics to work out in these very remote towns, and yet the government here has a promise that it makes to the public that it will have an ambulance at your doorstep within 8 to 10 minutes, wherever you happen to be. Australia is an enormous country, and a lot of it is very sparsely populated and vast areas of just nothingness. And there was this small town that I got sent to where I attended one emergency every fortnight, but usually that was a very serious trauma on the road. And there were no choppers, no helicopters for emergency evacuation back then in 1997. When I was posted there, and I didn't have a partner, so I drove to the scene as a young guy and had to extricate these patients and treat them and stabilize them and transport them, sometimes more than an hour, sometimes 3 or 4 hours to the closest trauma hospital. So it was a lot of pressure very early on in my career, but made for some very exciting, hair-raising moments.
Well, one of the things I almost couldn't believe was that you actually would pull aside and take their blood pressure. You'd stop the ambulance, you'd drive off the road and park for a second and take the blood pressure to make sure it was stable or to adjust fluid volumes or the IVs that were infusing, and then start driving again.
That was very awkward, yes. I mean, I would have to angle the rear vision mirror. I think, I don't know whether you call it the rear vision mirror in America, but you'd angle it down as I drove onto the patient in the back of the ambulance so I could keep an eye on the patient. I'd have the cardiac monitor volume up so I could hear the tapping of the heartbeat, and I wouldn't, you know, and so it was very difficult to assess the patient when you had to pull over every now and then and do a blood pressure. I mean, and occasionally I would have to recruit a member of the public to drive the ambulance for me, and there were moments when I couldn't find a sober person to drive. So these were the situation, the dilemmas that you're faced with, and it does make for some quite riveting stories.
We should say there was also
Yes, you there? So, one of the interesting things was, as a young man out there in the bush, I only later found out that one of the great American authors, journalists and authors, Ernest Hemingway, had actually himself figured out very early on that to be at the forefront of action, wherever the action happened to be, the best way of doing that was to jump on an ambulance. Of course, very few ambulance services will let journalists simply ride along and observe what's going on. And so the only way to do it really is to become a paramedic yourself. In a sense, when Ernest Hemingway did that around 1918, I mean, he applied for the Red Cross that was recruiting out of Kansas City and then was sent to the Italian front. And I remember reading about one of the first jobs, that one of the first emergencies that Hemingway went to, a large explosion at a munitions factory in Milan, and his, being faced with such a serious emergency, where, and I've been to bomb blasts myself, and I've and they are very, very confronting. But he was faced with multiple casualties, and many of them in very bad shape. And then I think he realized that being a paramedic was going to offer him an insight into humanity and an insight into humans under pressure and real crisis moments. And I think that is what comes out in Paramedico, the book. What I wanted to share with people were these stories that they're not ordinarily able to be aware of, because it's very rare to get inside an ambulance. You know, film cameras can't get in there either. So, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I wrote the book.
It's a great book, Paramedico. When we come back, I'm going to talk about two countries that I've visited that have ambulance services and very different ambulance services in them. One is Johannesburg, South Africa, and how much trauma there is there. Listen to You, the Owner's Manual radio show. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.